In this episode of the Smart City Podcast, I had a fantastic conversation with Emma Hendry. Emma is the CEO of Hendry Group and was also a member of the Future Leaders Future Cities delegation to Japan. Emma and I discuss incorporating tech into everyday business and how to move into the digital age. We also discussed learnings from Japan, what Emma has been up to lately, and how we can better integrate across the different disciplines using technology. We also talk about some of the emerging trends, global conversations, and how to deal with risk. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
It's the Smart City Podcast, whoa, with Smart City experts, here we go. Connecting smart technology, both big and small. Smart cities are making life better for all. Big data, emerging trends, self-driving cars and more. The Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.
Hello, Emma. How are you today?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
I am very well. I'm really excited to have you back on the podcast. It's our first real chat since we hung out in Japan.
Yes, no, I'm really excited to be here and thank you very much for having me on. And I can't believe it's already nearly been 2 months. It's just flown by.
I know, it's crazy. And I'm keen to hear what you've been up to since then. But let's jump straight into the first question. And can you tell us a little bit about your background and what you are passionate about?
Sure. Well, currently I'm actually the CEO of Hendry. We're a leading built form advisory firm. However, I actually started my career as a consultant at PwC and I moved across into Hendry about 11 years ago now through into the finance department. Then I moved into operations and then transitioned into the CEO role about 4 years ago. And I've transformed Hendry into the built form advisory firm that you see today. What I'm really passionate about is what we do every single day. We help create safer, smarter, and more sustainable building cities and communities for all. What I like to say is we save lives without anyone ever having to know about it.
Wow, that's awesome. So tell us what sparked your interest in this smart city space.
I think it really was for me when I was searching and wanting to do what we've done in the past, but in a much smarter and better way. There's been so many issues that have plagued our sector over the years, from environmental factors to operational performance to the non-compliant wall cladding that has unearthed an industry-wide and systemic problem that exists today. When we're addressing our strategy, who we were and what we wanted to accomplish, we had to reconcile these complex problems and also address the onset of the digital revolution to form a transformational and innovative path forward for my company and also the industry that would transcend our current business model and also industry boundaries. So this really led me to begin researching and learning a lot about smart building and smart city technology. And this really ignited my passion for discovering the multiplicative benefits to the community and also to the built environment ecosystem stakeholders that can be derived from the smart integration of these technologies and how they can be used.
Yeah, cool. So tell us what a smart city is to you.
Well, to me, it's really a utopian theoretical concept as opposed to a definitive end state. I really see it as a series of steps and processes by which building cities, communities can become more livable, safer, sustainable, and resilient. It's an integrated, interconnected, and optimized environment in which smart technology and data enables better living, working, and social environments and communities for all.
Yeah, cool. So why do you think that this concept is so important?
I think it's so important because it's not a static concept. It will continue to evolve and address the complex problems of the day whilst enhancing the sustainability and wellness of the built environment for everyone. I think it's just really, really imperative and important to, you know, also when we're facing these complex problems, to understand how our resources are being stretched. You know, we've got aging and growing populations that are accelerating at an unprecedented rate. And it's really putting a lot of pressure on our existing cities and infrastructure. And it's an imperative to adopt and enact smarter and interconnected ways of optimizing our current resources and enable the formulation of better plans for the future.
Definitely. Okay. So I'm really keen to hear about what you've been up to since you came back from Japan. So let's jump in now and talk about that. So we obviously were both on the Future Leaders, Future Cities delegation, and you were on the podcast when we were over there. So I'm keen to hear what you took from the trip to Japan, if it was any different to what we already discussed, but also what you've been up to since then.
So I think what I really took from our trip was just how necessity is really the inventor for innovation. I think, you know, especially Japan really are grappling with severe complex problems. Again, aging populations, they've got a lot of disaster management issues, even to do with energy, to do with their earthquakes and making sure they have the right resources and procedures in place. And I think what I really took from that in coming back into Australia and our business is how to be innovative, how to adopt and adapt and really understand best practice and bring that back into what we do every day in our jobs here. What I was also really surprised about is just from what our cohort of Australian delegates, just how innovative we were and how we were actually really pushing boundaries. We weren't just learning, we were also educating them.
Definitely.
So some of the projects that we've been currently working, I'm actually really excited about some of the latest things that we've been doing here. We've been doing a lot of work around mixed reality. So integrating the latest in virtual reality and augmented reality into the built environment to produce safer and more immersive experiences for humans. For example, we're using virtual reality simulations for training. This includes emergency evacuations where we can actually run real-time simulations, for example, a fire or a chiller exploding or a shooter in the actual built environment of the individual. So it really enhances the immersive experience and also optimizes the digital training. We also really like to think of ourselves as an ecosystem enabler. A lot of the work that we're doing in digitalizing the built form and enabling transparent, accurate, real-time data sharing for everyone in the ecosystem. For example, we are using AR tech to create virtual asset registers, and these are a link to advanced imagery, BMSs, the Internet of Things, analytics platforms to really enhance decision-making in the field and in real time.
That's awesome. And let's zoom out a little bit and talk about Australia, because obviously we're able to really reflect on what Australia was doing when we were in Japan. So I'm keen to hear your thoughts about how you think Australia is really embracing this smart city concept.
That's a really good question. Overall, it is still nascent in nature. Some sectors and areas are really more progressive than others. However, what I've really found lately, it's quite exciting to see it actually becoming a talking point, not just in industry, but in academia and more importantly in government. I really believe that Australia is ripe to embrace the smart city concept and then also then reap the benefits of its implementation. And you can definitely get a feel for the momentum of the movement being gained in the industry. We're actually having a lot of clients seeking us out, asking for this assistance, asking for how this can integrate. And we do a lot of public speaking and academic forum events. And we're really seeing this topic being the number one attended seminars. And people are really asking a lot of insightful questions. So you can really see this momentum and this movement coming towards being able to make sure that smart city concept really is prevalent in everything we do.
I know you've been doing a lot of speaking and traveling around. What's your key kind of message when you talk about smart cities when you're on the stage?
I think it is about education and knowledge. There's so much information out there, and you really just got to make sure that you are data literate, digital literate, and you really do understand what the concept means. And also it means something different for every single stakeholder. And it's a really inclusive subject where it's looking at something in its totality as opposed to looking in something in isolation. And I think that's what's really important about the smart cities concept. It's for everyone. And when you are trying to tackle complex problems, they usually do entail needing to engage with multiple stakeholders. So really then collaboration becomes key. So I really say it boils down to education and knowledge, communication and collaboration, and identifying the complex problems and then integrating the technology and the solutions that will actually solve these problems in an optimal way.
I'm keen to hear your thoughts about collaboration. What are some of the things that you kind of do to enhance or enable that collaboration piece?
I think, again, the fundamental things when you're approaching a complex issue is investigation and actually understanding the problem, the terrain that you're in. So in order to be able to come to an agreement on how to solve a problem, everyone, first of all, needs to actually communicate, and you need to unearth what is actually occurring and come to a sort of a fixed point of what your end goal is together. So really, to enhance collaboration, it's about engagement. So putting everyone on that same sort of level. We have an open playing field where it's about a discovery of the issues, discovery of all the elements, discovery of capabilities, and really promoting that cross-discipline interaction. And this can be done face-to-face or virtually. There are so many fantastic tools out there now available to us that allow you to collaborate from anywhere in the world, and also using AR and 3D imagery, actually really solve problems in real time and not just be sending emails back and forward or having phone calls, which really don't end up having an outcome attached. And then again, really is tracking those outcomes. So using those collaborative spaces to not just talk about it, but also set agendas and then also validate that actions are being taken thereafter.
Yeah, definitely. I'm keen to hear your thoughts about, you've brought Hendry along this kind of journey, moving into the digital age. What are some of the technologies and techniques that you've kind of come across lately that you've implemented or are really keen on implementing or exploring further?
To me, there's been so many amazing technologies that are being unearthed and actually used at the moment, and a lot have been spoken about, but not necessarily actually implemented. So for me, what I'm most excited about is actually how to integrate and how to interconnect all of these technologies. For example, with AI and machine learning and automation, connecting that in with the VR and AR and advanced imagery, and then also with blockchain, and then moving into the smart cities, Internet of Things. This is where I'm most excited about. It's not viewing each of these technology in isolation and what it can do. It's what could it solve when we start integrating it all together and the possibilities that are going to come from this integration.
Yeah, cool. So that kind of leads on to this next question. Not integrating technologies per se, but integrating across different disciplines, governments, academia, and industries.
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially in the smart cities concept and smart cities world, is to have this integration. I think what's really important is to set clear targets and agendas and work back from these complex issues as to how we need to approach addressing them in the first place. So again, collaboration and communication is key between all disciplines, government and industry, and it is imperative to enable not just only a comprehensive understanding of the issues, but the formulation and most importantly, the implementation of any initiative. And this will also help generate buy-in. I think we also need to incentivize and align each stakeholder and most importantly, create accountability for those actions and obtaining those targets. And I think right now, we don't necessarily have the alignment. So we might have some incentives, but there's no real alignment to the common goal and then the tracking thereafter. And I think that that's where it really needs to start from both the top down, from government down into industry, but it also needs to be led by industry and best practice and putting pressure on our authorities and government to actually make this have an agenda point, have incentives, have budgets. And I think it needs to be viewed in totality and not really looked in isolation, which only comes when you integrate all disciplines.
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think the emerging trends are that people aren't talking about at the moment?
I think there's a lot of corporate and social anxiety out there at the moment about people's digital platforms and their transition and their IT strategies and their roadmaps and their plans. And I think, there is so much that has been spoken about. You hear lots about AI and automation, AI spy and automation will take away jobs. And, and we also hear lots about mixed reality and how that's going to change the human immersion of the experience. And then also blockchain, how that's going to completely revolutionize how we do some work in the construction industry. But again, what I'm most focused on is the actual action that comes out of it. I don't think that we're actually having enough integration and actually putting it into practice. I think we're talking about these things a lot, but I really rarely see lots of companies that are actually fully diving into it unless they're really high-tech firms. And I think that's what's really important, is that the digital revolution, Industry 4.0, is here and it's not going away. And what's really interesting is a lot of the academic research from other industries is coming out showing that if you're not actually a fast mover or a pioneer, you're going to get left behind and become disrupted. So what I sort of think the emerging technologies are, I think we're already hearing about them. Where I think people aren't talking about is the actual implementation, and just to get on that digital roadmap and actually start persevering with it, and don't take that, I'm going to watch what my competitor does and then do it if it works or not. Because by the time you upskill yourself and you transition your business models into a digital ready state, it might even be too late and you'll be disrupted.
Yeah. What do you think the gaps are, you know, moving into these new kind of areas? Because I think like skill set definitely is one, but I'm keen to hear your thoughts on gaps moving into the smart city space.
Definitely skill sets is a massive gap. We don't have enough IT technical experience. So this is something that academia, universities, government really need to focus on, you know, putting out programs, incentivizing people to reskill themselves. Also, within the industry, there's lots of micro-credential programs that can be enacted. You know, I've actually was at a university the other day who was telling me about a bank and how they're going to do a data and IT literacy test on some of their tellers and then reposition them into more IT-focused roles. And then the ones that aren't, instead of just making them redundant, they're actually going to work with the government to transition them into other education and areas that need their skill sets, for example, aged care, because of their customer service complex problem-solving skills. So I think just having that understanding of skill sets of the future. And that comes from a government to an industry to a company, but also goes down to an individual level. Your jobs are still going to be needed. It's just that higher cognitive level of understanding, empathy, problem solving, that human interaction element is just going to become a lot more enhanced. And I think the biggest gap that I'm really seeing at the moment is culture. A culture of, as we talked about before, corporate and social anxiety regards to jumping in, adopting and change, innovative leading, being able to fail fast and fail often. And I think that that's really what's inhibiting this movement from taking its full momentum and really hitting its stride is culture at the moment. And I think that when you do look overseas and you look to cultures that are sort of a little bit more accepting of change, they're really pushing these smart cities concepts a bit further. And I think that that's something that we need to work on from an individual level to a company level and all the way up to government to make an agenda point that change has to happen. It's here and we need to run the programs in order to achieve that.
Yeah, I'm keen to hear, because obviously you deal a lot with risk. So I'm keen to hear how you think risk fits into the smart city space.
Well, that is a really, really great question, because sometimes we only look at problems in isolation. If you're able to actually track, I call it the health of the built environment. So how things are actually operating, how much things are being used, what people are using in the space, and you get these analytics from this technology. It's not about the technology, it's about the analytics that comes from it. So I'll just give you a few examples. The sensor technology that's integrated into a building, you can actually see when people are using different areas, so that can factor into your utilization and your condition models. So you can actually be more predictive with where you need to send maintenance. You can also start to track health and safety. So we do a lot of work in WH&S, OH&S, and you can really start to track, okay, there was a lot of issues with people saying that the aircon was too cold and people were getting sick on these days, and really start to understand why things are happening in the built form. Also for emergency planning, if I can say there's a sensor in a building and I know individuals in a building and they're stuck in there, I'm able to then send emergency response directly to actually get those individuals out. So in my world, it's really not just thinking about what I need. It's really coming to the table in that collaborative ecosystem form and saying, okay, if you are going to integrate smart tech, smart building tech, smart cities, how do then we complete and close out that data loop that fits every single element to every single stakeholder in that environment?
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today, Emma. It's been amazing. I'm so glad that we, you know, made the time to coordinate our calendars. And I'm really looking forward to having some more chats. I really just have one last question, which is how can people connect with you?
So first of all, thank you so much for having me on. It's been an absolutely fantastic discussion and, you know, be really happy to come on more. I love talking about this topic. So if you want to get in contact with me, just visit our website, www.hendry.com.au, and head to the Contact Us page. Otherwise, I'm on LinkedIn under Emma Hendry. So just drop me a line and message and I'll get back to you.
That's awesome. And I'll put the links in the show notes so people can reach out and connect with you. Thanks again. It's been awesome, and I look forward to chatting with you again soon.
Thank you.
See you. Bye.
It's the Smart City Podcast. Whoa.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart City Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes can be found at thesmartcitypodcast.com. If you have any questions or comments for me or any of my guests, connect with me via email, zoe@thesmartcitypodcast.com, or via the socials. I'm on Twitter and Facebook at Smart City Pod. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Smart City Podcast is what you're looking for.